Carter pressing Cairo and Tel Aviv. Iran claims oil production restored. More Legionnaires' disease reported, but fewer heart attacks. Good morning. This is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup.
It would be a horrible thing if we failed to reach a peaceful agreement.
President Carter last night let the frustration show. In an interview with the Public Broadcasting Service, he said it would be horrible if tiny technicalities kept Egypt and Israel from agreeing on a peace treaty. Added Mr. Carter, I wouldn't want to start saying who was being more stubborn. I think there is adequate stubbornness to be allotted to both sides. Did Egypt and Israel hear? The focus now is on the home countries rather than Washington. Egyptian President Sadat has recalled his acting foreign minister for consultations and today announced he will upgrade the talks by sending his vice president to Washington. Israel's government, in the meantime, is preparing for a possible stormy session with the cabinet. Dan Raviv reports.
If Foreign Minister Dayan wins the cabinet's approval for a key compromise proposed by the Carter administration, he will be sent back to Washington with instructions to wrap up the peace treaty with Egypt. Israel has rejected Egypt's demand for a specific timetable for Palestinian autonomy. For the Israeli government, peace with Egypt and autonomy in the West Bank and Gaza are two separate courses. Israel agreed in the Camp David Accords to embark on both paths, but a problem blocking autonomy, say the Israelis, should not block such steps as an exchange of ambassadors with Egypt. Press reports here say the compromise put forward by the United States does have a timetable for Palestinian elections to an autonomy council by the end of 1979. Prime Minister Begin's cabinet may accept that because the first steps toward peace with Egypt, including diplomatic relations, would have been taken by then. The cabinet's debate on this point is expected to be long and perhaps bitter. It starts tomorrow. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Though the spotlight is now on the home countries, talks may continue in Washington, as Marvin Kalb reports.
For Egypt, Defense Minister Hassan Ali remains here in Washington. For Israel, Defense Minister Azer Weitzman has stayed behind, too. Both men, by their rank and clout, represent the continuing interest of their countries in a final settlement. They represent, too, a kind of symbolic refutation of recent scare stories that the peace talks are on the verge of collapse. But if Hassan Ali and Azer Weitzman meet here on remaining issues, such as oil and the new demarcation lines in the Sinai, that will be a cover for the serious and critical decisions which are to be made in Cairo and Jerusalem. Both sides are considering an American compromise proposal on the key so-called linkage issue, tying this peace treaty to follow-up talks on the Palestinian question on the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. The U.S. proposal eliminates the Egyptian demand for an exact timetable for Israeli action, but it does stress the need for both sides plowing on towards a comprehensive framework and settlement in the Middle East, at least trying to. To a degree, each side is playing chicken with the other, but in Middle East negotiations, that's to be expected. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
Also in Washington, President Carter meets today with King Hassan of Morocco, who's been virtually alone among Arab leaders in expressing cautious support for the Camp David summit.
8:30, and a message from the Wall Street Journal. Today's journal can tell you who's sneaking around. The Federal Reserve uses secret agents to tiptoe in and out of currency markets. It's part of the battle to defend the dollar. And today's Wall Street Journal can fill you in on how the Fed plays the money game and who's playing the numbers game. Once again, the nation's bankers. Today's journal reports on the latest move to boost the prime rate and tells why further increases could come soon. And while you're reading today, you can find out in the Wall Street Journal why the frying pan is hot at Frito-Lay. The company's charging its ace corn buyer with making millions of dollars in secret profits. More on that in today's Wall Street Journal, and more in today's journal about the Carter anti-inflation plan. Get the answers to some tough questions that business is asking about voluntary standards. It's all in today's Wall Street Journal, all the business need you need when you need it. So pick up today's Wall Street Journal and get a head start in business today.
The first shooting in more than a week has been reported in Tehran today, but from what can be determined, Iran is now less troubled than it was a few days ago. So Don Kladstrup reports.
Although Tehran is still under martial law, the tension so evident here a week ago does seem to have about disappeared. It may be only temporary, but the city does seem to be somewhat back to normal, despite reports of machine gun fire in the Bazaar district today. Tanks and armed soldiers have been withdrawn from a number of spots, and a majority of stores and businesses have been reopened. Still, it is hard to tell whether peace really has returned or whether it's just the calm before another storm. Reports persist of unrest collapsed in other cities, of demonstrations, shootings, and killings. Other reports say things are calm. In the oil fields, government spokesmen say nearly half of the striking 37,000 workers have returned to their jobs. What they do not say is whether it was done at the point of a gun. Confirming these reports is virtually impossible. The government's Ministry of Information says it has no information. Neither do newspapers, which are still on strike against government censorship. Government opponents predict there will be more trouble. Government officials say everything is being stabilized. That's the picture here. Confusing, conflicting, and probably misleading. Don Clatstrup, CBS News, Tehran.
Not only the American embassy in Moscow has that feeling of being overheard, it turns out. Australia's Foreign Minister Andrew Peacock said today that listening devices were found last June in the Australian embassy in Moscow. Peacock told his parliament that the Russians denied responsibility and said it must have been someone else. But the foreign minister called the Soviet explanation unconvincing. Members of Rhodesia's biracial government met in Salisbury today to discuss whether to delay the December 31st target for transfer to majority rule, but postponed any decision until Thursday.
I'm Doug Johnson of Eyewitness News, and I report on some of the most interesting people in the world. Not celebrities, but real people, who give me a chance to not only get involved with their stories, but their lives as well. And if I can make a person's life better in some way, that's even more rewarding. Because talking to a person fighting to make a decent living is, to me, more interesting than talking to a politician fighting for re-election. So join me, Doug Johnson, on Channel 7 at 6 and 11. At Eyewitness News, you get involved because we get involved.
At WCBS News Radio 88, meteorologist Bob Harris has a windy, milder day for us. Intervals of clouds and sun. We have to expect the sun to come later. High temperature this afternoon, 61 to 66 degrees. South-southwest winds up to 28 miles an hour, and a small craft advisory is up. Cloudy, windy, and colder with a few showers likely tonight. Variably cloudy, breezy, and 49 to 54 tomorrow. Bob Harris thinks the first significant rain in nearly 3 weeks will come Thursday when we have overcast, wet, and windy. 58 this morning in New York.
Now that the bacterium has been identified, Legionnaire's disease is being found much more prevalent than first thought. That's the conclusion of medical researchers meeting in Atlanta, as we hear from Sam Ford.
Since the Philadelphia outbreak 2 years ago, Legionnaire's disease has been diagnosed in several countries around the world, in addition to some 500 cases in the United States. Scientists from more than 30 countries are attending a Legionnaire's Disease Symposium at the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, exchanging knowledge gathered from their surveys and laboratory research. Dr. Daniel Reed of the Rushall Hospital in Glasgow, Scotland, says much has been learned in Scotland because of CDC methods for detecting the disease.
Dr. Fallon, the bacteriologist at the hospital I work in, he's been examining specimens, and about 8% of our pneumonias are turning out to be Legionnaire's disease.
Some scientists have learned at the symposium that the disease can cause permanent lung damage to the 85% of the victims who survive it, that it can spread to other parts of the body, and that it can even cause mental impairment. The symposium will last through Wednesday. Sam Ford, CBS News, Atlanta.
And now the good news. Other medical scientists gathered in Dallas report the incidences of heart disease is down. That story from Eric Ingberg.
Changes in American living habits, some subtle, some not so subtle, are being credited by heart researchers for an encouraging reduction in the nation's heart attack rate. For 10 years now, that rate has been in steady decline. Researchers gathered in Dallas for the annual meeting of the American Heart Association are not sure why, but they believe it's a case of several different things adding up to a less coronary-prone public. The jogging craze, they say, is just the most obvious manifestation of a trend toward more exercise and more weight consciousness. The population generally is leaner than it was 10 years ago. And the researchers say people have turned increasingly away from foods which are high in fats and cholesterol. Millions more have given up smoking. The doctors say they don't know whether the encouraging trend, which has brought a 20% reduction in the rate of heart attacks, strokes, and other cardiovascular illnesses since 1968, will continue. It's an oddly American phenomenon. The heart disease rates have not been falling dramatically in foreign countries. Eric Engberg, CBS News, Dallas.
The Agriculture Department says this morning that food prices will continue to go up next year at a rate of somewhere between 6% and 10%, depending on weather and inflation. Despite the rising prices and the prospect of another record year for farm exports, the department says net income for farmers will stay about the same. Agriculture Secretary Bob Berglund, back in Hong Kong after a 10-day visit to China, said today he expects China to become a regular customer for American grain and cotton.
New York, Emory has some 11 o'clock news for you.
Atlanta, Emory has some 11 o'clock news for you.
Boston, Emory has some 11 o'clock news for you.
Hey there, Windy City. Emory has some 11 o'clock news for you.
In fact, Emory has some 11 o'clock news for the whole country. Some good 11 o'clock news for a change. It's Emory Express, and it's expressly for small packages in a big hurry. Expressly designed to get your small package to where it's going by no later than 11 a.m. and often a lot earlier. For not any more than you'd pay with any other small package express service and often a lot less. Emory Express, with its own planes, its own trucks, its own system. Emory Express, good news that travels fast.
Hey, L.A., wake up. Emory has some 11 o'clock news for you.
This 11 o'clock news was brought to you by Emory Express, the small package service that delivers before the 11th hour.
Some time ago, to stop the badgering questions, Britain's Prince Charles said 30 was the right age to get married. Today, he is 30, and what now? Bob McNamara reports.
Nothing official has been planned to mark this milestone, just business as usual around Buckingham Palace, with duty calling the Prince of Wales to join his mother, the Queen, in welcoming the President of Portugal, who has come for a state visit. This morning's London papers, however, couldn't let the day pass without an official 30th birthday portrait of the heir to the throne. The Prince is pictured on the grounds of Scotland's Balmoral Castle. He's dressed in a kilt, and there posing with him is Charles' trusty Labrador, Harvey. The gossip columns here, of course, would prefer to see a wife alongside the prince rather than Harvey. But then the speculation about Charles' love life has created and fed an entire industry, and during his lifetime, hundreds of acres of timberland have probably been destroyed to supply all the pulp to hold all the unofficial stories about the prince's marital status. Like nosy relatives again who can badger a young single man, the weekend papers were full of the all-too-familiar questions. Questions like, when is he going to get married? Who is he going to marry? Is there a girl these days that's fit to be the future Queen of England? And when is the prince going to stop living with his parents and find some meaningful work until he becomes king? Bob McNamara, CBS News, London.
The impact of the strike called by the independent steel haulers still appears to be spotty. Trucks were turned back at a plant near Philadelphia yesterday, but operations at a plant in Cleveland are said to be normal.
Most camera stores wouldn't touch a 4-foot lens with a 10-foot pole. But Hirsch Photo is in most camera stores. I know, I'm Mario Hirsch, and I've got a 4-foot lens. In my store, we carry everything. So if you're looking for something special, just ask, and I'll find it back here in my stockroom. This place is 6 times bigger than my selling area, and every inch is packed with photo equipment. Give you an example. I carry the Nikon line, the whole Nikon line. Cameras, lenses, strobes, the works. Take the new Nikon FM. You know, this little beauty gives you all the performance and precision of the bigger models in an easy-to-handle compact. It's really something. And another thing you'll find in my place, me and my priceless expertise on the house. That's my Hirsch success formula. Give the customer what he's looking for, and he'll never look anywhere else.
Hirsch Photo now at 3rd Avenue and 44th Street, open 8:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. 14 after 8 on Tuesday at News Radio 88 WCBS. Windy, mild day in the 60s, intervals of clouds and sun. It's 58 Fahrenheit now, which is 14 Celsius at the WCBS Weather Center in Midtown Manhattan.